Luke chapter 23, we're going to start reading today with verse number 32. Luke chapter 23 and verse number 32. Well, let's all stand in reverence and respect to the Word of God as we read from the Bible. Luke chapter 23, starting with verse number 32. And there also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, they crucified him, and the malefactors on the right hand, and on the other on the left. Boy, one of these days I'll learn how to read, huh? Verse 34. Then said Jesus, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them deride him, saying, "He saved others, let him save himself, if he be the Christ, the chosen of God." And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, "If thou be the King of the Jews, save thyself." And a superscription also was written over him, in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, "This is the King of the Jews." I want to talk to you this morning on the subject, the cross. The cross. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for those that have come. Now, Holy Spirit, I ask that you open our hearts and minds to this simple truth. Help us to walk in your ways and in your truth, and help us to grow in this knowledge that you have for us of the work of the cross. Help us never forget what was done for us on that day. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Often, as we move from day to day, we allow life to just pass us along. We go from day to day, just kind of traveling on without just being caught in the current of the day. And then before you know it, it's been a week, and that week turns into a month, and we've just been kind of going along, and that month turns into two or three or four or six or eight, or before you know it, the year's over. It's amazing how days so quickly turn into weeks, and weeks so quickly turn into months. I think I looked at my calendar yesterday, and it was the 1st. I looked at it this morning, and it's the 17th. That's how fast it seems that time goes by. Now, I realize the younger folks here, when they were younger, like I was younger, it seemed to go much slower. But truly, as you get older, time really flies by. And what happens is we don't realize how quickly time is ticking by. We're affected by the happenings around us, and because we are, we simply are living busy lives day by day. It's just over, a little over now, 3 months ago, that we celebrated Christmas. And now we're just 2 weeks away, as of today, from Easter. It all goes by so fast. We so easily allow it to go by without much thought. As we gather near then, the date of Easter, the day we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we come to the remembering of the price that was paid for our sins. Let's look at the cross, where the price was really paid. Let's notice some things about the cross. I think the most evident thing, and the first thing that comes to my mind when I think about the cross, I'm going to give you four things, but the first thing that comes to my mind is the rugged cross. What a rugged cross. I don't know. I'm sure it was just a tree that's cut down, hewn down. Maybe the bark's peeled off, maybe squared up a little bit, maybe not at all. It's tied together or laced together or nailed together into a form of a cross and thrown onto it and nailed there. The cross was a rugged cross. It wasn't a gentle cross. It wasn't a carefully made cross. It's just a cross. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 says this, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." When I think of the cross and the ruggedness of the cross, the roughness of the cross, the way that Jesus carried the cross and fell under its burden, and how others were asked to help carry the cross,
I think of that old hymn of the faith, the old rugged cross. That's what comes to my mind. It's funny, though, how often this very hymn is made fun of, and it makes fun of the old-fashioned Bible thumpers stand, and they show an old church building with people in there, and they're singing this old song, and it's a way for them to ridicule what we are and what we believe. And we see this on TV and in movies and so on like that. They try to mock us to this old song. They try to make us look foolish, yet that very same song describes what they need most. I'm just going to read the lyrics. I'm not going to sing it. You don't want me to sing it? Nobody wants me to sing, but I'd love to be able to sing well enough, but here's what the words are. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. Oh, that old rugged cross, so despised by the world. What's amazing is in the year 2013, it's still despised by the world. Has a wondrous attraction to me, for the dear Lamb of God left His glory above and bear it to dark Calvary. In the old rugged cross, stained with blood so divine, a wonderful beauty I see. For 'twas on the old cross Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me. So I'll cherish that old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. I don't know what more can be added to it. I don't know how much more can be said about that old rugged cross and what happened on that cross. I don't know how much more can be added to it. Yet, it's a marvelous thing to me and you to know about that great cross. The second thing I think of when I think, I'm going to stop there when it comes to the rugged cross, because the second thing I think about then is it was a relentless cross. It was relentless. It never gave in. No one escapes after being put on the cross. No one's rights are respected once they're put on that cross. Jesus was considered a common everyday thief and thus rightly deserving to be crucified on the cross because they didn't see Him as King of Kings or Lord of Lords or Savior or Lamb of God. They saw Him as a criminal. There are no human rights groups that stepped up and said that day, hey, take Him off that cross. We have no right to crucify Him. The cross was relentless. The word relentless means this, unyielding, pitilessness, steady and persistent. One has to read the gospel account of the cross to see that there was no pity ever rendered to Him. What we read today in Luke chapter 23, starting with verse 32, shows us that there was no consideration there. There was no pity shown there. There was no kindness shown there. They beat Him. They spat upon Him. They pierced His side and pierced his side with a spear, nailed His hand to the cross, dropped the cross into a hole, and then in Psalm 22, it says it was like every bone was ripped out of joint. It says, I was poured out like water in Psalm 22. They placed a crown of thorns upon His head. Then they covered up His face and they buffeted Him as they took Him to the cross and took the reeds and beat the crown of thorns into His head. There was no mercy shown. There was no kindness shown. I've said this often when it comes to the cross. They had beat Him before they took Him up there with a cat of nine tails. And a cat of nine tails literally fillets the flesh right off you and leaves you totally from the top of your head to the bottoms of your feet, just not lacerated, but peeled. Your flesh is peeled off, your muscle tissue is peeled off, and they only allowed 39 lashes because they had learned on the 40th lash, the last layer of muscle tissue would be ripped away from your stomach regions and your innards would fall right out. And they didn't want you to die that way. They wanted you to suffer even more. So they're only allowed to give, by their law, 39 lashes. And then they take clothes and they put them back on them and they take them to that cross. And before they nail them to that cross, they rip that clothing back off of him. Now, I would imagine from the time that they put that clothing back on him and they get him up to Golgotha's hill, where he's walked trying to carry that cross but not physically capable of being able to do it. So they get Simon of Cyrene to help him carry his cross up the hill. His strength is gone. His endurance is gone. And they take and rip those clothing off of him. And I imagine as that time passed, that it acted like a gauze. And his body was healing to it. And now all those wounds, all of this body, which is one continuous wound, is now again ripped open. And that's why when I think of the old rugged cross, and it talks about the stain of blood, that was all over it. It was all over it. That blood was shed for you and me. It was relentless. It never gave in. It was unyielding. It was steady, persistent. Anguish after anguish after anguish. They took his divine, holy, sinless body and made it into a shameful heap for sin. The third thing I think about when I think about the cross is that the cross provided redemption. The cross provides redemption. To redeem means this, to buy back what is rightfully his to begin with. That's what redemption means, or to redeem something. That's what we see at the cross. God loved the sinner so much that he was willing to send his son on their behalf to suffer like he did on that relentless cross, on that old rugged cross, so that God could redeem that which he loved, which is a sinner. And why he'd ever love a sinner, I don't know. Why he'd ever love me, I don't know. I've never made God any stronger. I've never made God any smarter. I've never given God any great wisdom. I've never done anything with my life that would make God any more wonderful than God already is. I couldn't add anything to his creation. I couldn't add anything to his thought. I couldn't teach Jesus anything if I wanted to. God is perfect in all these things, and yet he looks out across the eternal plain and he sees man whom he created, whom he loves for no reason. And he says, I want him back. Redeemed. How I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. That's what we see at the cross. For God loved the sinner so much, he's willing to send his son on our behalf, on his behalf, to put together a redemption plan to rescue sinful, fallen man. He did everything he did on the cross for me. He did everything he did on the cross for you. Each drop of blood was shed for me, and each drop of blood was shed for you. When the Savior cried, "It is finished," he cried, "It is finished for me." And he cried, "It is finished for you." He bowed his head and died. And when he died to pay all of my sin debt. Everyone I've committed in the past. Every sin I've committed in the future. And every sin that I've committed in the present. Every sin. Gone, 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 gone. Yes, my sin is gone. Why? Because Jesus paid the price for my sin debt. On that cross. And when he cried, "It was finished," he paid my sin debt. And when he cried, "It was finished," he paid your sin debt. Oh, praise the Lord. He did all this for you and me. All this simply because he loves us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. I have an only son. And as much as I love him, and as much as I love God's people, I would never let my son die for God's people if I could stop it. I love folks. I care for folks. I wouldn't let my son die for me. I would most gladly die for my son. But God said, I love sinful man who chose sin over me so much that I will give my son. And yet today we still see multitudes of people who reject, who won't come to Christ, who reject salvation, who reject His payment for sin. People that say, hey, listen, I will pay for it myself. The only way you can pay for it yourself is in hell forever and ever and ever and ever. That's the only way. The wages of sin is death, not just a physical death, but a second death. Then the lake which burns with fire and brimstone. And that's the only way to pay for your own sin. And people after people, person after person, and group after group, still today, reject the blood. Reject the cross. Reject the things that God has done for us. He went to the cross for me and you. He went there at the cross that we might live forever. The cross was the bridge that linked man back to God and God back to man. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20 says this, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Galatians chapter 1 and verse number 4, who gave Himself for our sins that He might deliver us from the present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. Wow. Titus chapter 2. And verse number 14. Who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. So when I see the cross, I just don't see the old rugged cross. I don't just see a relentless cross. I see a cross that provided redemption for me. He redeemed me to bring me back for His own. But that's not all I see at the cross. When I see the cross, I see something else as well. I see the cross was reconciliation. I see the cross as reconciliation. The cross reconciled me. Reconciled means this, to reestablish a close relationship between. That's, if you looked it up in the dictionary, you'd find that's the number one definition of the word reconciliation. To reestablish a close relationship between. It means to settle or to resolve. To bring oneself to acceptance. To make compatible or consistent opposing views. So what God did at the cross, when He sent Jesus to the cross and He died on this cross, is He reconciled me, a sinner, to Him, the Almighty God. He settled the opposing views because I've been opposed to God. And through Jesus Christ now, I've been reconciled. I've reestablished a close relationship now. My relationship with God is now close. He becomes my Father. I become His Son. I get eternal life from the temporal life. And now I go from having death, eternal death in hell, to heaven. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 20 says this, for I have made peace through the blood of the cross, of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto myself. By Him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 16, we read this, and that He might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain enmity thereby. We're now at peace between God and man. This sinner is made at peace through the blood that was shed on the cross as my payment for every sin I have ever done, will ever do, or am doing presently. Why? Because I've been reconciled. I've been bought, rebought, established a close relationship with my God. He reconciled us unto Him. Through His blood shed on the cross, the life that was given me on my account was settled. The life is now different. I've been bought with a price, and the place where my sins would have been would have brought me, I am no longer going. Why? I've been, if they've been removed and I have been made accepted before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the God of all the heavens and earth has accepted me. I don't have to go through anybody to get it. I don't have to go through a pope. I don't have to go through a cardinal. I don't have to go through a bishop. I don't have to go through a priest. I don't have to go through a pastor. I don't have to go through a deacon board. I don't have to go through a church board. I don't have to go through the choir. I don't have to go through an assistant pastor. I don't have to go through a pastoral staff. I've been born again, redeemed, reconciled to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ individually, forever, settled in heaven. Wonderful. Wonderful is the cross of Jesus Christ. I'm no longer the enemy of God. I've been purchased and made His son. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 9 and 10, it says this, "For God hath not appointed us unto wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him." I've been reconciled. Heaven's not my home. My home was in earth. And then my home was going to have to be hell forever and ever. The lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. Away from God. Away from His existence. Away from His love. Away from His compassion. Away from all things that represent that which is God. And yet, now I've been reconciled. Brought back to that place where my life is with Him in eternity. John chapter 1 and verse number 12. "But as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." I went from being His enemy to His son. I've been adopted. I am adopted. I'm a child of the King. I went from being a child of the devil to being a child of the King. I went from having a home in hell to having a mansion in heaven. I went from being the servant of sin to the servant of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And not just a servant, but a son. An heir, the Bible says. A joint heir with Jesus. Wow! What an amazing thing that was accomplished at the Christ, at the cross of Calvary. What Christ has done for us. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15 and verse 17 say this. "And He died for all, that they which should live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto Him which died for them and rose again." Verse 17. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." I'm a new creature. I got a new home. I got a new life. I got a new home in heaven. I got a new life that's eternal. I got a new robe. They're robes of righteousness, no longer tattered with sin and torn and filled with the filth of sin. I've been restored. I've been redeemed. Philippians chapter 2, verse 15 says, "That ye may be blameless, harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world." I went from being burnt out to being lit up. Amen. I was taken a living sword and stuck into a dead body, and I raised up and said, "Glory to God." Why? Because I got a new life in Jesus Christ. It all happened at the cross. Not only have I been, my sins been washed away, now, did you hear what it said there in Philippians chapter 2? I'm blameless. I'm harmless. The sons of God. Wow. Without rebuke. Rebuke means He can't come back and punish me for anything, for there's nothing to rebuke me for. There's no punishment to be cared for. Why? Because at the cross, I was reconciled. I was redeemed. I was reconciled. The payment was made. I've been accepted in the beloved. And now, in the midst of this world, I'm different. I've been changed. Now I shine as a light in the world, rather than remain in the darkness, coldness of this world. What an honor. What a great privilege. A son. The Son of God. I have a new Father. Abba, Father, Papa, Daddy. And that's the Almighty God. A new home in heaven. A new life. Eternal life. All because of one event. The cross. That's what we think about as we near Easter. As we travel through these next 2 weeks, think about the cross. The old rugged cross. The unrelenting cross. The redeeming cross. And the reconciling cross. Father, I thank you for what we've learned today.